This is a seminar. It starts at 9:15. There'll be three courses merged together, so you will be working with individuals from other courses, and your job is to be the security expert. There are people in the course that are taking project management, and their job, of course, is to be the project managers. Many times when you're working with security, you are advising somebody. So you're going to have to learn how to advise somebody in practice. The seminar will be 2 hours with one professor, and then you will have... Yes? I'm going to hop out of this and see what's going on. It says it's live, but maybe its recording is not the same as live. Because you see here, it says stop. So, somewhere in the ether. But that's... What? Yeah, that's right. No, it's assuming if not, we will deal with this, if the sound's not working, etc. I show you how I deal with the students that aren't here. The assignment, as you see on the slide, is due the 6th of April. So it's going to be a quite intense 2 weeks in terms of this. Beforehand in the course, you handed in your assignment at the end of the course. So this lecture, I'm going to be having you doing labs that I before had two lectures before you did the lab, but you're intelligent people, right? And I will take more time with the labs this time. But anyway, so that's the seminar. You have to hand in on the 6th. I get into more details of the seminar later on. Lecture 2, we have a guest lecturer. He's a systems theorist. He's 76 years old. He's a pioneer in computer science. And he teaches systems thinking. On the 28th, he will be giving a lecture, and this lecture, on the... He was the one that invented the pointer variable. I don't know how many here program in C. So actually, the pointer variable was invented by him. He worked with Grace Hopper when they were developing COBOL. And in this course, you're going to be learning a lot and using a lot of history. Insecurity is not new. So that'd be that one. And then the hand-ins, lecture 3, lecture 4. When we get to lecture 4, 3 and 4, you're going to be using a traditional textbook in information security management. Information security management is a lot about checklists. It's very boring. It's no fun to teach either. But you have to know that, right? So we're teaching how to think first and then how to do. And then we have the buffer zone. I will be going through the exam from last year, probably in lecture 3. You have a better idea about it and give you some examples. The exam question last year, has anybody looked at the exam yet? It's published. was using a social technical analysis to figure out how you would cheat on the exam. No one passed. I mean, everybody passed in a sense, but a couple of people failed. Two got an A. So it was a bit difficult, and I saw that again. So I want to go through it again. You see examples of it. And I want you to be able to contribute with your own questions. We talk about that later in Lecture 3. For those of you that are online, what I usually do is that on Sunday morning, since many of you are working, we can arrange 15-minute Skype sessions, even though you that are here, you can have face-to-face. Because there's a lot of questions in this. For today's lecture, we're going to be doing Lab 1 and 2. And it's tough for the students that are off, because you have to talk about these things. I will set up a list in Fronter with times, and you book off the times. Now, if you, even on a campus student, want to book a time, fine. For a Skype session, you can. The course has the expected learning outcomes. You don't have a cough mic here. This social technical area is quite huge, and I never know what to do because this is a textbook I'd like to use. It costs you 1,000 crowns. And I know none of you want to spend 1,000 crowns on a textbook. I think I can get one or two of the research papers that are public, PDF. But we're going to teach you how to think social technically and think about information, communication, technology, evolution. And then we're going to talk about this social broad systems theories. The idea is this business about doing independent research. The difference between a master's and a bachelor degree is that we want you to do independent research. And that's what this exercise is about. You're going to be an independent consultant, in a sense, helping these individuals to develop a new system. This is the exercise. Some of you have seen it already. One of the things you learn about security management is it's basically a lot to do with change management. Security is not new. We've had insecurity problems for many, many years. But what we have a hard time with and why you have a specialized education in it is you're dealing with the adoption of new technologies. So in this case here, you have a company or people developing new services for the Lillehammer Youth Olympic Games in 2016. And they will be getting new services for Google Glasses. What are some of the information security problems with Google Glasses? How will it be used? And think about the security problems before they are used. So you're going to have to use all the skills and knowledge you have so far to figure out how something new like Google Glasses can cause problems. Now these students are, as you say, different students. What I will do later on, I will divide you up into management tracks and technical tracks and make sure that we divide up the teams that way so there'll be one person in the management, one in the technical. If there are individuals you'd like to work with, we can talk about that. Well, we have to decide this by Wednesday. We get through this in the break. This is going to be worth 50% of your credit. So this is a major portion of your work. You will be going through an exercise today as to what you're going to be doing. So you're already going to try a brief exercise in this. I'm going to have to print out everybody. Some of you have computers here. You need Fronter. The lab is on Fronter. As you say, the students are coming from digital entrepreneurship. So we have a master's in digital entrepreneurship, a course in that, and we have a course in project management. As I say, the hand-in is 50%. And the exam will be 50%, and 40% of the exam is terminology. So basically, I'm just asking you to repeat what you've read. And the other 60% would be an essay question. We have to figure out what the essay question will be. Last year, everybody complained it was not enough time, because it's only a two-hour exam. But if I give you the essay question ahead of time, I expect you to think a bit about it. So hopefully you have the essay question before. Feel free to stop me anytime with questions. In Fronter, there is a lot of material. I will point to different sections of it. Last year at this time, I had to give a speech at something called ISACA. So I put this as an example. There are, as you see here, there's a compendium one, which is IT insecurity. It's a 20-year-old document. It's my doctoral thesis. This is what I'm going to be using. A lot of people can question, how can a 20-year-old document be relevant in this area? And that's because social technical modeling can go back, can be used to analyze issues in the 16th century. They had insecurity in the 16th century. Then there's another compendium. It's a compendium. The professor that started this program 10 years ago, her name was, helped start the program, her name is Louise Engstrom. She wrote a compendium, A System Holistic Approach to Information Security. So this is taking systems thinking and applying for the problem of security. Bud Larson, who'd be coming, he is a systems thinker, not a security person. So he'd be talking system science, and this will be an application of it. And there'll be lecture notes and some papers that I published in the area. And I'll point out when you should have to do this. And what I'm thinking of doing now as an introduction, this is a 45-minute lecture that I have to give to a bunch of auditors. Would it cost you 4,000 crowns to sit there and listen to me? You get. I don't know how much they read. Well, it was fun, too, because there's about 100 people then. About 20 of them were my old students in Sweden, so it was quite interesting to see how they react. And this is the one here that's talking about minding the gap with social technical modeling of governance. One of the things we'd be doing here, in our field, we have to work.
Could you please turn off the lights?
Yes.
It's one of the three, I'm not sure which one.
Not that one.
No. Yes, thank you.
It's the middle one. Which makes sense. All right, can you see it? Okay, yeah. So. If we look at the information security problem space, And I put up this dichotomy, is that you have information systems. That's where you design information systems. That's what actually everybody's out for. And then you have computer systems or computer science. So, if we look at this sort of fancy Cartesian type system, we say that the information security problem can be stretched over this continuum between computer information systems and computer systems, and these are also what we call social systems in a sense, and these are technical systems. So how many people here have a bachelor in computer science? Right. So this is computer science here, right? Computer systems produce information. And most of the time, the enemy is not really interested in the computer. He's interested in the information. This is where the assets are, right? So this is this continuum here. You have the practice of this and you have the theory of this. To give an example, and you can go into different depth. We can go into the depth of computer science and security and talk about, let's take a practical problem here. As a manager, we have to manage passwords. That's a nice practical problem. In a sense, it's more of an information system problem, but it's also a computer practical problem. Unix. Where do we want to store the password file? Should we have a sticky bit on it? How should it be stored, etc.? Say, where should the password be stored? Should it be stored? If it is stored, going back to theory, so we use mathematical one-way functions to store it. Right? So this is a practical problem in information systems and information management. This is a practical computer science problem. How do you deal with the fact that you have to store passwords? This is a theoretical way of looking at it. You use one-way functions. And here, you're going to learn some systems theory, and we're going to talk about Ashby's law. So ideally in a situation, if you have a problem here, you should be able to use some theory here, connect it to some theory here, and connect it to some practice here. So everything in computer security has that type of spiral learning. So, and we're going to be going through this at different depths in this course. So here now, I'm going to give you a quick... So right now, I'm going to give you an overview of social technical modeling. It's going to jump around this one. And as we go on the course, we're going to try and get deeper and deeper. This is the lab you're going to be doing. I'm going to break you up. I'm going to ask you to do a social technical analysis of the decline of the British Empire. I give you very high-level magazine articles on it. That's the compendium. And then when it comes to Bart Lawson on the 27th, he has a book, it costs £10 on the internet, you can buy it. We're going to be going through chapters 1 and 2. The System Holistic Approach Compendium, that's this free download. Right. Okay, so I'm going to go through a bit it's 20 years ago. About approaching the problem. So what we're saying is that nature may not turn out to be organized into disciplines quite the same way as universities are. So everybody has a degree in computer science, but what is the information security problem? Is it a computer science problem? Is it an information system problem? Is it a practical problem? Is it a theoretical problem? This approach we're talking about, and when we call it system science. One of the general premises of system science is that you can describe any system using three basic concepts, that you have concrete systems, abstract systems, and living systems. So in this course, we're going to be talking a lot about modeling. But anyways, we say first we have three types of systems. We have living systems. And then we have concrete systems. And we have abstract systems. Why do we model, and why we're going through this, is that by doing this simple model, you have a living system, an abstract, and a concrete system, we can model any information security problem using this, using these simple models. And once we have this model, we can, with a given degree of certainty, predict, explain, control, create, and destroy the system. And we're given examples of this. Scientifically, the approach to this problem uses two approaches called naive inductivist and sophisticated falsificationist. So a naive inductivist, what they do is they make observations. From the observations, they make generalizations. Generalizations create theories. Theories should create hypotheses. And hypotheses have to be validated. In this case, falsified. And that's the deductive approach. If you use a social technical system, going back to this, it is assumed that these three common characteristics can be used to understand, explain, predict, control, create, destroy IT systems with a degree of certainty. I will show you experiments where I've done using social technical modeling, where I took half a group of security specialists, another half, and asked them to do, both groups to do a risk analysis of a situation. One group got a naive mental model of security, one didn't. And then I got a third party to validate which one he, in this case, thought was better, without actually knowing which group had the social technical modeling implanted. And the one that had the social technical modeling perform the better risk analysis according to the so-called expert. That's one way of scientifically falsifying. So I made a hypothesis. The group that has social technical modeling will perform a better risk analysis. What is the criteria for validating that? Unfortunately, I have to use experts. That's an example of a naive inductive approach. What would be interesting, but we won't do this educationally, how could we set up an experiment with the expert team approach that you're doing this week? I could have divided the class up. One of you would get a lecture on social technical modeling like you're getting now. The other ones would just hop into the thing. And then we could test which one gets the better grade. Now, as a scientist, now we're trying to teach you to think as scientists. what's important in order to validate that correctly. I just said, I gave you an experiment. I want you to think as scientists now. Where is the bias?
Which was not correct,
you said. Correct. So I'd have to have an independent person who is blinded. So in an experiment, scientifically, you've taken the methods course, right, everybody? In the beginning, we met once. Remember a long time ago in this room? So what is the dependent variable, what is the independent variable, and what are the extraneous variables in that experiment? Can anybody answer? Independent, dependent, and extraneous. Anybody? Dependent variables are the variables that you measure in an experiment. What are we measuring? The grade. What is the independent variable? The degree or the amount of education the group has got in social technical modeling. We're changing that. And then we're measuring the results. What are the extraneous variables here? Maybe some of this, how do we pick the sample? For example, what's interesting, we know scientifically, empirically in a sense, that the grading, the people who sit in the front get better grades than the ones sitting in the back. So if I just pick the people that way, it could affect. Those are extraneous variables, the way I'm doing that now, right? So I'm trying to get you to think scientifically, right? So always think in terms of dependent, independent, and extraneous. So how did I come about with this social technical model that I'll be presenting you now? I looked at 42 computer crime cases. I made observations about them. And I said, all right, why did this crime occur? Was it because they had weak technical controls or they had weak social controls? These were actually all the computer crime cases I can get a hold of in Sweden in 1992. Now, the problem with this, of course, is it was called computer crime. We didn't really have a good classification of computer crime. That's one thing, is the sampling. And what I found when I did that is that a large portion of those computer crime cases occurred because of poor social controls. That's what I call them, administrative controls, if you want. It wasn't because the firewall wasn't strong enough or the encrypted key was 54 instead of 55 bits. That was not the reason. In a sense, what this study showed, when I studied the 42 computer crimes in Sweden, 60% was social, and the other ones, about a third, were technical. Will this be interesting to find out if no one has done that type of study, but does anybody think that this thing yourself now, is this changed? We don't know. Because no one's really using this, but you will have a chance to look in your labs. So in your labs you have a very old computer virus thing from 92. So you can look at it and you can figure out from the description of the attack, well actually the victim in the lab, it's someone who's been attacked. He's describing what happened. If you think there was social controls or technical controls, that's one of the labs we'd be doing as a group. So what we see with computer technology, and you will see in the Google Glasses, is what this graph is trying to show, is the things that we can do with technology, the bad things we can do with technology, and the things we can control are changing. We have a hard time keeping up with that change. Now, Google Glasses, they can be used for many good things, and they can be used for many bad things. can they be used for more good things than bad things in terms of information security? That's where the gap comes in. So that's what that graph is showing, is that since 1954, what we can do with technology is going up, what we can control with technology is going up, but not at the same rate. So we need new laws. Let's have a law that you're not allowed to have. Before I start a lecture where there's a camera here, I ask everybody to, if they want to be in this, right, or policies or procedures. Does that control it? That's a social control. I could have a technical control. I can have you all voting. Or you can have what we call social technical control. I was almost late today. So when things go wrong, going back to this living abstract and concrete systems, I've, as a person and as a security professor and professional, I say it's quite simple. Something's gone wrong here. My plane, I just came from Stockholm. The plane was supposed to leave at 9:20. It didn't leave to 10. And then I landed at 11:05, and the bus from Gardermoen goes at 11:05. So I have to wait 2 hours. I got here on time, though, because I had a two-hour buffer. Something went wrong. So it's either me, somebody else, or the system. So anytime something goes wrong, you don't get the grade you want, you don't get the girl you want, the girl doesn't get the boy they want, it's either you, somebody else, or the system. What sort of systems do we have? We have social systems and we have technical systems. What happened today? It snowed in Stockholm. All right. So we had a weather system. Now, remember going back to this business about a living system, an abstract system, and a concrete system. So, depending how you look at it, a weather system is a concrete system, right? Now, they made a forecast that it would snow on Saturday, so I saw that, right? It said snow in Stockholm on Monday. They could actually predict very well here 5 days ahead. They knew it would snow. The authorities at Arlanda, and then you have SAS, did not put in more de-icing machines, even though they knew that there would be snow and every plane would have to be de-iced, right? So because of this level of system, SAS couldn't do anything about it because they decide how many machines are there. So you're seeing you're having me, somebody else, the system, a system. Now, why is this? Now, I'm a Gardermoen now. Arrive late. Who will pay for the bus? So what's wrong with the system? There's no signal. This is me. I can complain to SAS. I can complain here. How is that signal being transferred? What is the abstract system I have to send signals to this living system? So a lot of times when things are going wrong is that we don't, in this case, we have the technical controls. Was it the social controls or was it the social technical controls? Someone made a decision not to deploy more icing machines. And they can make the decision as much as they want because there is no signal in the system to punish them. All right. So going back, if something's wrong, you're going to be looking at, as a security specialist, figure out if you did something wrong as a security manager, is it somebody else doing something wrong, or is it the social system or the technical system? The same thing again. If X is going to occur, so this is a crime. Or in this case, it would have been an error. I would have not made it here on time. Now, what did I do to make it here on time? I knew a two-hour buffer zone, so I have a two-hour buffer. So I can actually miss one bus and still make it here. So I was able to not have this happen because I said, okay, how much can I rely on this and how much can I rely on this? And I was almost late in the set because this bus driver was driving through slow. He got here at 47. Why did he get here at 47? He's driving behind a lumber truck. So what happens here is that in Sweden, I ask, why is there a gap in terms of what we can do and what we can control? In Sweden, they had something called the security by analysis model. It's called the SBA. And I developed something called the security by consensus model. And you'll be looking at it more and more. But here, what I did as a computer scientist or a network technician, I developed the security system into a stack of controls. So here you see the stack for the first time. You have social controls. And in social controls, you have operating procedures, administrative procedures, legal and contractual procedures, and ethical procedures. These are a stack of controls. So consider this social system as a stack. Beside that, you have a bunch of technical controls. You have an operating system that has hardware, operating systems, applications, storing, processing, and communicating data, and you have data. So this is a concrete system, an abstract system, and a living system. This model will repeat itself again. It's called the security by consensus model. You can read about it in the literature. This model is built on something called the Frisco framework, where you have different layers of information. So what is the difference between data, information, and knowledge? What we say is that the different layers, you have a physical layer, a syntactical layer, a semantical layer, a pragmatic layer, and a social layer. So you have all these different types of layers. And then in terms of the model, which you'll be seeing many times again, is that you can divide up any system, saying that there are four elements in the model. Every system has a culture. Every system has a structure. Every system uses different methods. And every system has a machine. So I took the risk. I took a social technical risk of not flying out on Sunday. I took a cultural risk, right? I have a certain method for doing that. The certain machines I rely on. So this model, you will see, and you use it later again, you could use it to model different layers of social structures. And we get into this more. So this model can be used to compare systems. So here we have a system on the left. It has culture, structure, methods, and machines. It's communicating with the system on the right. Stuart has a social technical model. It will communicate with SAS. What method will I use to communicate with SAS? Email. what machine? And how will they manage that? How will they manage the signal to go to the next level? It's how well these things work that determine whether the system's secure or not. What I like to do, and this is what you'd be doing in your exercise, you'd be looking at how you're going to model social technical change or technology adoption. So right now, we're talking about, again, So if anything you account with the course, you model something, you use that model to measure it, and then you use it to manage it. So those are interested in the management track, we want them to look at how do you model the information security problem, how do you measure it, and how do you manage it. Again, you see this model, you'll see it many times, is that you have these four observables. Every system has a culture, every system has a structure, every system uses methods, and they use certain machines. It's when these things are imbalanced that you have a secure system. So you see here on the left, we have a system that if we make a cultural change, it affects the methods that are used. The methods affect the machines that are used. The culture methods of the machine affect the structures in place. On the right, we have a system where, okay, we got a new machine coming in. It's affecting the methods used. So we have this recording here now. A new machine coming. It's affected the method used. How's that affecting the culture? How's that affecting the structure? If these things are not properly analyzed, the system will become insecure. So we're defining security as the ability of the system to adapt to social technical change. Cultures change, technology change, systems become insecure when they can't adapt correctly. How do you measure adoption? Here's one method. This is called Rogers. He's looking at the diffusion of technology. There's a study done in the 1950s in the 50s in the United States where they're looking at how different farmers were adopting the spreading of manure. And you see that in every community there's certain people that are innovators, early adopters, etc. You can actually measure what the distribution is. So what they do is they ask, if you look at this is the quantity, how many people here in this room were the first to get among their group a 3G phone? Anybody the first? All your friends? Okay, so we have zero. How many here got a 3G phone after they knew somebody else got a 3G phone? One, two. So we have, we say two here, right? How many got a 3G phone because these other two have got a 3G phone? And this is what happens here, is you have this distribution. How many people don't have a 3G phone? Right, so you have one. So what we're doing, you get a distribution of individuals and their willingness to take on new technology. This is called an adoption curve. So going back to the problem of the Google Glasses at Lillehammer, how many people are going to be adopting it? You should know about that. What's interesting, we won't get in this study, but one study I did, I had three different studies that were done, and one proves it, one disproves it, and one proves it, so it's hard to figure out what, but it has to be repeated again, is that these individuals who adopt early don't care about security. often these individuals that adopt late do care about security. That's why they don't want to do it. When I worked at Ericsson developing the 3G systems, we were designing the systems for 14-year-old Japanese teenagers. That's the level of security that's the system's designed for. So in this case, we see here with the adoption curve that in this case, so here you can, when you talk about adoption curves, we saw here our curve was a bit skewed. But in some cases, you have a lot of people that really like technology. So all things remaining the same, this system is secure because those individuals will adopt it, and they will convince the other individuals to adopt it. If we go to this diagram, we have a bunch of people that don't like change in the organization at the different level, in the different communities, in different cultures. This system will be insecure. Going back to predicting what will happen. People, in this case, I did a study in the 90s when they were first introducing smart card logins to the police officers in Sweden. These individuals did not like computers because they spent most of the time trying to figure out how to use them. They were upset about technology. They didn't like the new information technology. So any security analyst would say, this will not work. And what did they do? They left the smart card in the machine. If something's wrong, they said, it's not me, it's the system. So this system, even though we're talking about police and et cetera, because of the adoption curve looking the way it does, it was insecure. And it's your job as a security specialist to get some notion about how that curve looks before you're introducing a new technology. So, has anybody ever heard this expression, the medium is the message? It's a famous expression from the 60s, that's why. So I guess don't worry about it. You're not, most of you won't be born in the 60s. No. we get back to this later, and that's what you're looking at, is that what he said was that the medium is the juicy piece of steak that the burglar gives to the dog to distract him. So often when there's new, what they were saying is that this new technology is actually not making people smarter, it's just making them hungrier. It's distracting them from what's important in the message. So if you don't know Marshall, you won't understand it. But what I'm saying is the model I'm giving you, and you will see that when you're working with security management, the model is the juicy piece of steak carried by the security professional to help focus the watchdogs of the minds of the employees, management employees in the organization. If you're going to manage individuals, you have to manage them through the models. What is security? And how do you develop these models? The model I'm giving you now is one model. Hopefully you can develop your own models. This is a model based on social technical systems. And after the break, we will be going through that and you'll be seeing how these models can be used. So we take a 10. I'm going to... When you come back, I'm going to want you to split up into groups. Okay, how many people here... What we'd like you to do, the people in the technical track, can you sit in the first row? The people in the management track, can you sit in the second row? And then we divide you up that way, okay? So in 10 minutes. And the paper-wise, do you have... I will print out the things you have to read and work on, right? So hopefully it will only take 10 minutes, but we see. So 10 minutes and then... I don't hear that makes no difference. It keeps on filming, right? Yeah, okay. All right. Give me 10 minutes. Remember, technical manager. Manager is higher up, right? When you get back, you don't have to do it now.
Stuart, regarding the recording, it could be that you're recording but not streaming.
Yep.
Perhaps.
But the mic must be working.
Yeah, no, that's working. We can hear that.
I guess I should turn it off now. Hello? So right now, those are offline right now. So what I would like you to do is to look at the different scenarios in Lab 1. And we're just going to go individually through them now. So it's very good you pointed out the property rights. Now, if we go to the thing about Google Glasses, so I'm trying to prepare you for the Google Glasses. If you're developing a service about capturing information and using information, what's going to be an important aspect of this? Who owns the material, right? What method are you going to use to ensure that people are not copying the thing? Going back to the method. What machines can you use to do that? What structures can you use to do that? So if you're putting on Google Glasses now, for example now, this lecture, who owns the lecture? No one knows, actually. Right? Going back to Google, if you're sitting here now and you're recording the lecture, go back to, everybody's watched the Olympic Games now, right? Now, will the people be trying to sell DVDs from the grand opening? Right? What happens if everybody has Google Glasses on them? But would it be good? But going back to how this is used at an abstract level, if you're looking at a social technical system, you're introducing a new machine into it, and you want to get control over that system. So this is looking at the societal level now, right? So we take another era. We take the, who took the American era? Anybody?
The 1950s?
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you like to, you know, would you want to come up, or do you want to, good practice coming up. Come up.
Yeah, I don't remember anything at all.
No, it's important. It's important.
That was basically about.
You have to be in here now, right? Remember? This is the camera.
Oh, yeah. it was about how the boom after the war started. Soldiers got married and they started spending more. But then it changed when the Vietnam War started and they had to put up the taxes. I guess the expenses got too high and they just bought less.
But what machine was involved in it? Did it say anything about a machine or not?
Good. The market, wasn't it?
What are we going? So what are you going to see that everybody's going to identify different ones, right? I mean, and that's the interesting issue, but going back to what you're doing, what you're trying to figure out is what's going to be the security problem. So in terms of analyzing social technical change, you're not doing this to be an anthropologist, etc. You're trying to identify possible security problems, right? In terms of machine, I think was the airplane you said? What machine brought about the
unemployment?
That's not a machine. Okay, but so you're not going to, in all the scenarios, you're not going to find everything, right?
No.
But to understand that culture is values. What do people value? Structure is power. Methods can be many different things. And then machines are what we understand machines to be, right? Computers. How is this recording, etc.? Always think in terms of that now. Thank you. So what this exercise is that we will go on to the thing now, is that you will be getting your ideas to figure out now. We're putting a new machine in, Google Glasses. How will this cause instability in the system? And the next thing is, we get into go through the next lecture, how do you get stability back in the system? So basically what happens, anytime one of these things changes, you get instability, and your job from a security perspective is trying to figure out how to get security stability back in the system. And we will... Now, the information I'm talking about now, this all comes from Chapter 1 of the thesis. So, Compendium 1, this is Chapter 1 material. So, I'd like you to read Chapter 1 before Wednesday. Okay, so going back to the lecture. So that was your seminar. You can look at those things later. But two examples where certain aspects come in and one aspect changes, the culture changes, and then they have to change the structure because of the tax structure there. The Vietnam War changes, and they have to change something else. So as a security manager, you're often involved with change management of technology. So... what was interesting in terms of this chapter, we had a paradigm shift in computing. We know how, in the 80s, people were worried about how to secure mainframe computers. So you had these huge computer devices, and you're trying to figure out how to deal with that. And they're developing mathematical models to deal with that. So the 80s in computer science and 70s were dealing with how you provide mathematical models, and they developed something called Multrix. Has anybody heard of the Multrix machine? Now, what they found, of course, is that they thought by formalizing the operations from a computer science perspective that they could make it secure. And they were almost there. Multrix was an A1 level, as you can see. So Multrix received an A1 security status. The trouble is that not many people are using it because it wasn't exactly fitting the needs of this one. So it had a machine, A1 level, but it really didn't fit the method the way people were working. So what you're seeing going on in computer systems is as soon as we figure out how to deal with mainframe computers, what sort of culture did you have around security when it came to mainframes? You had guys in white coats. You went there with little cards. Is a totally different culture and structure of the situation. And we're getting security involved. We're getting to know how to do security here. But then, mainframe went away and we got mini computers. PDP-11, digital. The first computer that could be carried away. That changed the way things were done. And that means we have to change the culture and the structure of how we do things. Okay, so that's a simple type of introduction. We talked a bit about this model. So you understand that this is what's going on all the time. This is what you're managing in security. And it's understand everybody. It's instinctively that we know that these things have to adapt to each other. If you're using mainframe computers, client-server, PCs, bring your own devices, etc. We're going to have to change the culture and structure of your organization to match that. One of the ways of doing this is to put an information system model into it, and you saw this hierarchy or stack of ways of looking at the world. And this is called the Frisco Report. So you have a social layer, a practical layer, a semantic, a syntactical, empirical, and physical. So what you see here is an abstract model, and then we try to make it a bit more concrete on the right. So in this case, you have on the right-hand side, you have a technician looking at a computer, and he's looking at a computer that says standard operating procedures, and he's connecting with another social technical system. Between them, they have different protocols. So in this case here, you have a standard operating procedure how individual on the right can communicate with individual on the left. That standard operating procedure is defined by certain policies. Those policies have a protocol. You have certain laws that says you can communicate. You have certain ethics. That's on the social side. On the technical side, you have an application, operating system, hardware, communication protocol. So before I can communicate with over Wi-Fi and send my password, I should set up a VPN. It's a policy decision. It's translated down to that, translated to the other ones. That's an example of a social technical solution. You've seen this one before. Now, going back to this model of models, you see we have different levels of it. So when you're using a social technical system, you usually say that you look at the system in focus, which in this case could be your organization. Then you have to look at the system above and the system below. So if you want to understand the problem of Google Glasses for the customer in the Olympics, you have to look at the organization above, the laws, and the technology below. You have to look at it at different levels. Right now, you're looking at the changes in the society, because society has culture, structure, methods, and machines. Organizations have culture, structure, methods, and machines. So if something's going to succeed or something's going to be insecure, you have to decide where is the hinder or the blocks in the system. That's called system of systems thinking. Going the wrong way. So when you're reading chapter 1, you'll see I lay out that and I go through a procedure of this. Is this to help you read chapter 1 now? In chapter 1, we talk a bit. We see that one of the problems when we're dealing with the information security problem is that it has a social and technical component. So the question is, you see, in this one here, I'm describing it, the different types one. So if you're dealing with the social issues, you have to study sociology and criminology. The technical is computer science, information systems, etc. So the task here was, in terms of the lecture we did before, I'm moving a lot faster than I'm used to, but which one of these do you want to work on? Which one do you want to go deep, and how, what do you have to cover in your master thesis? And still keep into that. We won't do this now because we don't have the time. What I started off with, interesting enough, if you look at the chapter 2 of the thesis we're reading, was ethics. So I tried to model the ethics going on in the situation. Why did I start off with that? Well, first off, it was actually the easiest to study at the time. Secondly, sometimes the ethical controls or the internalization norms are the best ways of controlling situations. So, going back to the situation, we have to figure out how to get some sort of balance between that. We have our social controls, and we have our technical controls. And we start off by looking at the ethics. What I studied about in the chapter 2 at the time, this is going back to the 80s, was how the Swedes and the Canadians dealt differently. So, in Scandinavia, as you probably noticed, they have a different notion of public and private property that you don't have in other countries. And I was wondering if this type of thing would affect the way people use resources. In Sweden, they have a concept of allemansrätt, which means that you're allowed to go and pick mushrooms on somebody's property. If there's a computer resource not being used, I'm allowed to use it? That's sort of the ethics of it. What did I find? Yes. That the Swedes, in this case, were falling at work. They were using the company's resources to do things because the resources was not being used, and this was causing security problems. This is resource, it's not being used, I could use it. And then we have to figure out as managers, do we want to put policies to stop that? So that's an example of a value. So in terms of ownership, company owned, individually owned, am I allowed to use company resources? A certain portion of the population said yes. Given that type of curve, I could predict that they will have certain types of problems because of that. And what do I have to do? I have to implement certain types of policies specifically for them. So I have a certain ethical value in the situation, public versus private property. Isn't really, are the laws dealing with that? Not really in the company situation, so I have to implement a policy to do that. So when you have a problem X, you have to decide which one of these layers are you going to put the control into. Should you put it as a technical control? How would I implement this policy as a technical control about resources not being used by the company?
Restrict access?
Exactly. I'd say, okay, after 5 o'clock, 1700 hours, this machine is down. Now, what's interesting sometimes, if you did that, and you see this sometimes, it pisses off this culture, and they go around doing it anyways. But you have to be aware of that. That's what the social technical modeling is about, right? It's not saying that one is right or the other. You just have to be aware, how many of these people are you going to piss off? And in that population of 100 people, how many people are going to do something bad? And then I compare these things with different societies. Now, the next exercise that I want you to do is more applicable for what you're doing on Tuesday, on Wednesday. And you might have to do this at home, but I'd like you to sort of work on it here now. It's called Lab 3. Can you bring it up? Can you bring up the labs? This is a bit more complicated. What you see on the left, right, is what I call an IT crime reporting sheet. So here I have an incident, unfortunately it's in Norwegian, that talks about a security problem. Now, is this problem occurring because of they don't have the right ethics, they don't have the right legal structure, administrative structure, mechanical structure, application, etc. Now, the fact that Java is being used, that's an application problem. So what I want you to do now is I describe a new service. And then I would ask you to go through that service and figure out, do they have the right controls? So think about this with Google Glasses. Think about all the different things you can do with Google Glasses. Do we have the right ethical, legal, administrative, policy, and technical things to allow people to use Google Glasses? break up in your groups again. You see the diagram here. I mean, I can print out a bunch of these, right? I make copies of this, and you can think about it, right? Where's the problem going to be with Google Glasses? Is it because they don't have enough ethical controls and legal controls? Okay. I make copies of these. You can start talking in your groups. Now, everybody understands the concept of what's going to be happening with Google Glasses, right? Okay. I make copies of this here. You have the lab 3 on the thing. You can read the whole. Lab 2, it says, or what? Lab 2, yeah. Just take that. I make copies of this, okay?